Thank you, Kevin. That's very nice of you.
All right. So joining us right now, we have Pastor Richard Reed, and the pastor's from the North Baptist Church, mm-hmm. along with, he wants me to call him Pastor Mark.
Pastor Mark.
Yeah. But he did earn the DR, Dr.
Yes.
Mark Oliver, but Pastor Mark will call you, and your
Trinity, church is Trinity Baptist Church in Brockton, yes.
Excellent. And we're here to talk a little bit about a conversation in regards to adult recreational marijuana, and it has become, it's now known that the clergy in the city of Brockton have in fact reached out to the city council as early as last week, had actually did a fantastic presentation, and Pastor Richard Reed was kind enough to forward it to me, and I had a chance to kind of look through it during vacation. I'm like, oh, wow. Wow, you did not spare the artillery. You really got a lot of your facts in here, and it's also interesting to note that the conversation that we're talking about is there's a concern in regards to bringing in recreational marijuana and bringing in more something that's more of a deviant, almost as though trying to bring in a casino. And you might want to kind of Pastor Reed, if you want, kind of allude to the whole. This isn't your first dance in regards to being in opposition to something that may not be good for the community.
No, it's not the first dance at it, that's for sure. And it's very interesting that when the mayor decided to announce his plans for the marijuana businesses in Brockton, he used Destination Brockton as his slogan, which is the exact same slogan that they used to try to bring in the casino. And, well, it's as dangerous as the casino would have been for Brockton. And we're so thankful that many of the churches in our city decided that, you know, we need to say something. And, you know, we were there. The vote, we lost the vote just by 158.
Right. Yeah, you had, well, it passed 51.7%.
Oh, this one did.
We're talking about the 2016 ballot question.
Yes.
Yeah.
For approving the marijuana. But yours was, but the I believe the one for the casino, it was only like 142 votes.
Yeah.
That was the difference. And right. I think that was when the Mass Gaming Commission sat down and they were deciding, like, on. Does this community really want it?
Well, that clearly spoke to them when they saw the number of clergy and a number of people from the Christian community who were against it. They, even though the vote was in favor, they said this would divide a community. We're not going to do this.
Yeah. It's interesting that the questions that are being asked here are similar to a neighboring community, Town of Whitman. Oddly enough, my last two guests were in here from Whitman, but. I follow what goes on in communities that kind of span the city of Brockton. And they recently, their official said, okay, it was a narrow passage during the 2016 ballot question. What do our residents, do we know what our residents, do they want us to sell this? Because prior to that ballot question, there was a little bit of an uproar because folks were concerned about medical marijuana and having it, and there was an outcry. So if you get that outcry prior to the ballot question, and then you had more, there was a higher amount that passed, but not by much. You have to find out what your residents want. Do they want there to be retail and cultivation, or just to decriminalize it?
Yeah, right.
And it came out in the end that folks just wanted to decriminalize.
Which is what the whole purpose of that 2016 ballot was about. And of course, the wording of it was very confusing for people. Yeah. And of course, it's a lot's being read into the ballot question, but it really was that people wanted to decriminalize it, and they wanted to allow for personal usage within the limits of how much they could have. I think it was 2 ounces now. And but if you have 2.1 ounces, now that you're talking about a felony. So, but that's all it was. It wasn't for our cities and towns to go into having all these different types of retail outlets. Right. And again, Brockton, we have a medical marijuana facility. And even in the ballot question I presented to the Finance Committee of Brockton last week, include that in the ballot question is we want to ban all future businesses with the exception of the existing one, because there's nothing we can do about it, but it must stay a medical marijuana facility.
Right. You know, as anything, when there's two sides that are putting forth an effort, initially we had the mayor come forward and say, yeah, this is something that I'm going to push through, legislation, let's get the city council on board, and let's figure out zoning, where we're going to put this, yeah. and then go from there and then enact it. City council is kind of, I think they put a temporary moratorium in place,
on it. Yes.
In place until the end of the year. Mm. There's been an amount of money that could quantify, that they could be reached. Mm-hmm. I think it's the amount's upwards of $6 million a right. year. But, is that an actual number? Is that a real number?
No. It is not a real number.
Okay.
There's no evidence. We keep asking for the evidence, and it's been said that $6 million was that magic number. Well, now the mayor's office has changed that number. It has now dropped to $3 million.
Right.
And, of course, we know one of the deciding factors on that is that the wholesale cost of marijuana has bottomed out. It's really low now.
Yeah, it's low and possibly even getting lower because of the fact that...
Supply and demand.
So, I mean, $3 million, probably not even that, realistically.
Well, and here's the thing, is depending on somebody who wants it readily available compared to somebody who, I mean, with the ballot question, you can, as an individual, grow up to six plants. Of course, you got to do it in a certain right. manner. If there's a couple of you, mm-hmm. you can do up to 12 plants.
Right.
In one household. So, I mean, it could be mm-hmm. someone doing that, or it's a matter of, you know, what do you do?
Well, based on that, six plants per person and up to 12 plants in the house, some folks that are more well-versed in this than I have said, well, that should be able to supply enough marijuana to accommodate them, those two people, mm-hmm. if it was 12 plants, mm-hmm. for 3 months, and then in the meantime, the plants regrowing again, and then you get the harvest and you do all that. So, you know, you don't need to go out there for the black market. Mm-hmm. You're self-sustained.
Is the black market anymore, or is it more like the gray market?
It's still a black market.
Okay.
It's at least the unofficial one.
Yeah.
Nothing for nothing.
Thank you, Ben. So talk to me about the concerns. What are the concerns with opening up the city to allowing retail sales in the downtown corridor?
Well, the number one concern, I mean, we were talking about the casino and all of the potential social burdens that could come from that. But the number one concern, and there's a host of them for this, even worse, the casino, is the all of the evidence that speaks to when this commercialization, how it impacts the youth, how it gets into the younger community, and so many different strata. And then you add on to that the reality that all the evidence is there, and it's growing evidence, that when youth are partaking in cannabis, their brains aren't developed. It affects their development up to 8 points on the IQ level, but prepping the brain for potential mental illness. There's so many things that are there coming out now. Sure. Why would you do this to the next generation? Why would you? All the studies are showing that wherever there are commercialization of these things, you take a certain radius around there, and the youth are indeed, they're saying, survey after survey, that they now are a part of that that recreation.
And, you know, it really comes down to is what is going to be the actual costs of having such businesses and having the marijuana so readily available. I said multiple times the other night to the city councilors, this is not the marijuana of the 1970s.
No.
We're not talking about smoking a joint. We're talking about high concentrations of THC. And one group that's out there, the Smart Approaches to Marijuana, have done some studies, and here's the kicker. Our cities are doing this because they want to bring in revenue, and their studies show that for every dollar that is brought in revenue to the community, $10 is spent in societal costs. So that could be health insurance, it could be the increases of burden on the emergency room, Denver, all those cities out in Colorado, the emergency rooms, visit rates and marijuana intoxication has skyrocketed. You know, of course, then you look at the accidents, the car insurance, and just the medical costs. It's astronomical. There's no limit to it. And for what? A couple of bucks.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and if you ask anybody in law enforcement, one of their concerns is how do you, do they even have a test to see if somebody is a little too high to be behind the wheel?
There's no breathalyzer for it.
Right.
It's a personality thing. Some people handle it, some people don't handle it. It's really tough to find a way to scientifically prove either which way. A breathalyzer just doesn't cut it, and anything short of an on-site blood test, which is illegal by the Constitution. Mm. I mean, good question.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. And here, we're a city who's been highly concerned. There's been many pedestrians who've been hit because of distracted driving already. We got the texting and all these other things. And all the evidence is there is that all of that increases in terms of pedestrians being hit because of distracted driving.
Well, you had that. You had a rash. It was, what, I would say 3 or 4 years ago. You had a rash.
I
reported those.
Yeah.
It seemed like every other week somebody was getting struck. Yeah. A tragic death with a young boy in roller skates.
And they're still trying to address key issues in the city in that area, building bump outs and all these different things, but it's still not going to solve the issue if you now have more distracted driving, and the studies show that that is in the increase as well.
And the distracted driving with the enhanced, I'll call it, THC, the high concentration drug, whether it be in the form of the gummy worms or, you know, some of the other more...
Right, the edibles.
Yeah, the edibles, but also some of the one that they call Scrapple or something like that. Anyway, it's like a marijuana crack, and it's about 85% THC. Mm-hmm. And so the response time for intoxication on that is almost instantaneous, as opposed to with alcohol, which, you know, we oppose that too. You know, it could be for some people 2 drinks, it could be some for 5 drinks, whatever it is, depending upon the person, but it takes effect over time. Whereas with this, it's almost instantaneous. So you've got them walking out of the retail shop. Hey, I just got this. I'm going to pop a couple of gummies. And then they get in their car.
Watch out.
And school's getting let out, and, you know, let your imagination take care of the rest.
Yeah. Interesting, when I had the mayor here talking with him and chatting with him, knowing that he has been a major proponent of places like High Point. Let's not forget about the elephant in the room. We are still dealing. We're still trying to wrap our head around an opioid epidemic that's taking place. While the numbers show that there's been a slight drop off, it's not solved by any means.
Right.
And there are some who will argue, and some for and against, whether it's a gateway drug or not.
Yeah.
And we've actually had it happen on these very airwaves where there have been differences of opinions whether or not.
Yeah.
But the thought here is that can it be something that can be marketed as a counter to opioids?
The evidence that we're looking at, and again, one of the problems we know with all the evidence there, everyone wants to be research based on all those things. One of the problems with the marijuana industry right now is indeed that it's becoming an industry. There are those investors who have made now the industry like the tobacco industry, where it's almost predatory, and so they will pay for their research and all of that. And of course, their research is going to say there's no connection between the escalation of use and all those kind of stuff, but those who have no skin in the game regarding all of that are saying, no, the evidence says there is indeed a connection to the escalation. A significant percentage of folks who start there will not end up there. Mm. They will go beyond. And so what data are you going to look at? But I think the data that's fairer to look at are those who don't have skin in the game on that.
Agreed. And, you know, and of course, when we think about the overall cost in Colorado, one of the things that they're finding out is having a real problem with is hiring people. In the construction industry, you have to give everybody drug tests, and marijuana includes that. So they're having a worker shortage because they can't find anybody that is drug-free, even if it is a legal drug.
Right, and the problem also is it stays in your system longer.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah.
So I can see why that they... I believe it's be around 30 days or so, right?
Depending on volume of use. But it's the same thing. I mean, you're going to pick your poison there. Do you want the guy that's going to work hard for you all day, go home and maybe have a little something to smoke to relax? Or the guy that goes home and gets absolutely plastered on alcohol because that's what he's allowed legally
to have? How about neither one?
Exactly. But unfortunately, most people need a good old escape from reality one way or the other, whatever it may be. For each individual person.
I will say this, and again, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here, and we got two great guests from the Brockton clergy. We have Pastor Richard Reed and Pastor Mark Oliver, who are here, and they're talking about their, you know, they are out talking with city officials, saying, whoa, before you decide to put an ordinance in place, we need you to think, maybe even consider what the residents of Brockton, how they feel. And I believe that you guys might even be asking, hey, can we do a ballot question here?
In the essence, that's all we're asking. You know what, let's understand that when the vote was taken 2 years ago, whenever it was, people really did not know what they were voting on. Let's make it clear, let the community decide. That's what we're asking.
Mm-hmm. Just want a referendum.
Just want a referendum. Let's go.
And for us, you know, again, because Brockton was one of those places that voted yes, vote 51.7%.
Correct.
Which is less than the 52% that the proponents are saying. It's 51.7. We have to have a ballot. It's required in the law. We can't just have our city councilors decide, well, we're going to ban all the marijuana businesses. We have to have a ballot. It has to be victorious for our position. And then the city councilors can make the ordinances that says, none of these shops here. But what happens if we lose? Okay? It's possible we could lose that ballot question. And the reality is, we have to accept it. However, then we count upon our city councilors and our zoning board people to make the regulations so that it is as protective as it possibly can be. Yeah. And, you know, 1,000 feet from every school or library or YMCA, church, any place that ministers or serves children, 1,000 feet before you can have those businesses. Right. In Brockton, they've already thrown out one of the requirements that they want to have, that it can't be on the street level, it has to be on the second floor,
right?
All right, now what I challenge everyone to do is take a walk through downtown Brockton with a tape measure and find out how many buildings meet the criteria.
Is it limited? How limited is it? Do you know?
How limited? Yeah. I've already done it.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you. You obviously have the answer. So
there are none.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, that's disheartening.
If it's 1,000 if it's 1,000 feet as we recommend.
Yeah.
If you go to 500 feet, there's a couple of them. A couple of buildings that are more than one story that could meet that criteria. The only problem is those buildings are not commercial buildings. They're residential apartments. Therefore, it won't meet the criteria. So there is no place to put seven of these in downtown Brockton as the mayor desires. Now, the city council has said, whoa, that's not the case. We're not going to allow seven downtown.
Right? Let me ask you guys this, and that is, one of the biggest problems that the city has been having over the past decade is not having enough funding. And again, last year was a $406 million budget for fiscal year 18. Fiscal 19, they're still working on. I think the mayor just released his budget. It'll be up to the next week, as of the next week or two, for the city council to kind of take a look at it, meet with the department heads. But one of the big things that we've seen over the past couple of years is not having enough funding to be able to educate, you know, the students, the children in the city, where there's budget shortfalls. Mm-hmm. What are some of the alternatives? That the city has tried doing a power plant that has gone over too well. Mm-hmm. They talked about a casino that didn't happen. This is just the next bite at the apple. Yeah. What are some of the things that you would suggest to the city leaders to explore to be able to generate the revenue that they need to be able to offset some of the losses in their annual budgets?
How about just do the due diligence of working with the microenterprises, building in microenterprises, starting with the small businesses, investing in the small businesses. And, you know, the problem didn't happen overnight. It's not going to go away overnight. I mean, so what about just saying, look at what can we do, understanding that you know, yes, we're going to have to tighten our budgets. We're going to have to teach our education department, all of that. Listen, you're going to have to break down your budget a little bit. But at the same time, let's start sowing in for the future instead of these quick fix. I know politicians, you know, there's this pressure because of our high anxiety folks, you know, society. We want quick fix. They're going to have to resist that quick fix. Let's do the due diligence, build slowly, but have a plan, have a strategic plan, invest in the micro enterprise, the small businesses, and grow with the community. Invest in that. Be proactive in that. And the communities that I see who are doing that, you know what? The problem isn't going away overnight, but they are chipping away and they're beginning to balance the budget as they invest on the slow burn, on the slow growth in that way.
We got about 5 minutes left here in our segment, and it's been a fantastic segment. I appreciate both of you, you pastors coming in, talking about this issue. Is there anything we haven't touched upon, but it feels really essential, it's crucial to getting out to the listeners who are listening in the Brockton area?
Well, one of the things, of course, we know this is supposedly all about money. And does the city of Brockton need more money? Everybody will say yes. We need to find a way to do it. And I agree with Pastor Mark that, you know, small businesses is the way to do it. This was the same argument with the casino. And one of the things that happened is that people said, well, you guys are just naysayers. We're not. When the casino vote went the way it did, and then when the decision was made not to have a casino there, you know, we opened and offered job training skills for people to be able to get new jobs and to get better jobs. And that's something that needs to be done now. We need to have more training for people so they can get those better jobs. But this is not a quick fix. Matter of fact, there's something new that's hanging out there that probably most of the politicians in Brockton don't know about today, but they will tomorrow when I email them. There is a pending legislation in Boston that is going to modify the host community agreement law. And the new wording at the end of it is, well, part of it is that they have to separate the funds into a separate account, which that's good. Should the feds ever come in to try and seize the funds, they won't take all the city's money. They'll just take the money that's there for marijuana because it's federally illegal. But if the city, the community can use those funds as they have agreed to in the agreement. But at the end of the year, if there's still monies in that fund, it rolls over to the next year for appropriation. But if there is a deficit, all right, this is the kicker here. If there's a deficit in the account at the end of the fiscal year, it must be raised by taxation.
Mm. Yeah.
So our state legislators are saying, you know, this thing may not fly, and if there's not enough money coming in from the marijuana businesses, hey, the rest of you taxpayers, you got to pick up the difference.
Sure.
Yeah. I do subsidize business.
Yeah. I will tell you, I remember when the ballot question passed, and I had a frank conversation with the state treasurer, Deb Goldberg. And, you know, there was an excitement about the whole idea here in the Commonwealth. There was a lot of uncertainty as well because they still felt that more needed to be done to hammer out the legislation. They had to get the Cannabis Control Commission together, and they had to kind of lay down the laws that communities would go by. But one of the things she said that was a hot commodity was to get a license to open a shop. The problem is there aren't a lot of communities that are welcoming it.
Right. Correct. And it's over 200 of the 351 have already banned it.
Right. Right.
And, you know, it's growing. And again, Brockton, you know, our desire and the reason we're here tonight, again, is to simply say we want a ballot question. The citizens of Brockton deserve a ballot question. They deserve the leaders that have been elected to do their job and to represent the people and give the people a voice.
That's all we're asking.
What are you hearing from your parishes? What are you hearing from the folks who attend your churches or from your colleagues, the other clergy who you know, have folks that attend their church? And what are you hearing from those folks?
Well, on the one side, first of all, this was really dropped pretty fast. So it's still kind of still percolating. It's still going on right now, that kind of thing. But I find whether church or a regular person in the community, that they're, first of all, they're not aware of what has happened to the cannabis. They're not aware of the difference. Right. This isn't grandfather's cannabis, all right? This is not. So they're not aware of that. And the more educated, the more informed people become of what we're talking about, let alone the marketing, the candy look-alike and all those kinds of things, that's even relatively new. And when we begin to talk about that, their eyes get wide open and say, wait, we had no idea this is what we were talking about. And then when we say, look at, not only that, a person can have their own six plants in their house. Why do we need to commercialize this when we understand people, they want to have their own, that's fine, let them have it. But we don't need to be bringing the whole thing into the community, making Brockton a destination for this kind of business.
In my presentation, the slide that always gets the pot leaf on the town.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay. That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. That was WGBH that did that.
That's very nice.
And it's like, wow. But it's, no, it's the image showing the candy lookalikes.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. I forget what they call it now. But anyway, it looks like a Kit Kat bar, but it's not.
Right. They're so similar.
And so who are they marketing this to? They're marketing this to children. Now, how many adults do you know today that go to the store and buy a container of gummy worms for themselves? I don't know any.
Right.
It's marketed to children.
Yeah.
And that is a real problem.
If folks want to find out more about the campaign, or they want to find out more about the what you guys are working on, how can they do? Do you have anything that's set up right now, whether it's social media, or somebody wants to email you? I don't know if you have Twitter, or if you have a website, or just a Facebook.
You should give your email account.
Okay.
And that way people
they can just go to our website of North Baptist Church, which is www.jesussavesinbrockton.com. And the presentation is there, and there'll be more information there over the next few weeks as we seek to educate our city councilors and make the public aware.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. And let's stay on top of this. Mm-hmm. And again, the whole idea is I try to bring in all sides.
Right. Yes.
And let everybody and ask the questions, give you an opportunity to have the floor and let the folks educate themselves as to what's going on. So if in fact there is a referendum come November, they can make the right decision and feel good about whatever decision it is that they make.
Great.
All right.
Great.
All right. We've been speaking with Pastor Richard Reed and Pastor Mark Oliver, and to talk a little bit about adult recreational marijuana in the city of Brockton, another chapter in that conversation. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, the